Greetings this morning. It's a blessing to be together again and lifting our voices and listening to the word and just the good fellowship around God and just realizing all that he's done for us. I think we can't be grateful enough. Thank God for that. Why don't we all rise to our feet and we'll start by prayer. If we can all rise to our feet. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this great privilege to again open our hearts to you. We ask in Jesus' name that you would come and continue to dwell with us here today. We ask that you would come and as we open our hearts to you, would you by your Holy Spirit speak to us in the areas that we need to grow in. We ask, Lord, that you would give me clear thoughts and the burden and being able to communicate this morning what you have. And so, Lord, just help us all. Help us, Lord, in right where we find ourselves to be able to step forward in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask specifically for Kenzie this morning. I ask that you would help her to learn to eat, to drink. Ask, Lord, that, the difficulties she's having, and I just ask, Lord, for healing, and ask, Lord, that you would be with Jeremy and Kate. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sometimes I ask myself this question. Looking at us as a brotherhood, I ask myself the question, what is it that we can do that will help all of us to have the desire to just walk closer to God and live a spiritual walk? How can we move forward? How can everyone here, everyone that's here this morning, how can there be a continued hunger and thirst after righteousness? How can we stimulate that? And this morning, the subject here that we're going to look at, Marks of Spiritual Maturity, is what I've entitled it. And I'd like you to just look at a couple of what I'm going to say essential things that you will see when a person continues to grow in spiritual maturity and what that looks like. Now, considering this idea of maturity, what is maturity? A number of years ago, I did an interview. There was a position that we were looking to have filled at work, and we were doing interviews with different people, and I remember this interview that we did, and we sat down with a young man and his parents, and as we did that, we talked about the different or the role that needs filled, and after we were towards the end of the interview, this is what the father said. He said, "I think my son isn't mature enough for the job." I think my son isn't mature enough for the job. And so I sat there thinking, I wonder what those immaturities are, and at what point will that dad say, "Okay, there's enough maturity there for that job." Or what is maturity? Or how does maturity look? And if we recognize that I'm immature, what can I do to move forward? It was an interesting statement by a father to say that. it was a very interesting comment, a very interesting statement. But with that, it makes me, as we look at the subject, marks of spiritual maturity, my mind goes a long ways, and I ask myself the question, I'm supposed to be spiritually mature, right? I'm supposed to be spiritually mature. And as I was preparing for this today, I sat there asking myself the question, really, where am I? And I saw lacks in various areas of my life as I was preparing for this today. Now, in doing this, I would like to let's first turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read a couple of verses. And it specifically is talking about about the difference between being spiritual-minded and carnal. So let's just read here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Oh, that's quite the statement. Paul was saying to the brotherhood, I can't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, I wouldn't, as I look at the brotherhood here, I wouldn't say that. I would say that there's possibly some among us who have carnality. There's some among us who maybe haven't, we're all at different levels, right? But I couldn't say that about the brotherhood here. Obviously, there were things that the new church at Corinth was facing. But he goes on and says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he that taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is in God. Now, I want to just look here at this whole subject of maturity, and I would like to suggest that there are times that we look at each other, and maybe at other leaders. Maybe there's someone that gets up here behind the pulpit, and he can have a very eloquent sermon. And he sits down, and we sit there and say, wow, he is a very spiritual man. I would like to suggest that sometimes we judge people based upon their giftings rather than what we see as fruit coming out of a person's life. And sometimes we judge ourselves as God's really working in my heart because of the abilities that I might have to do things. And I like to suggest that we do well to have a great carefulness and use discernment as we look at both ourselves and other people, that we don't confuse the two. I don't know if I'm making sense with that. A person can be very gifted and he can be very eloquent, but that is not the essence of spirituality. It's not the essence of spirituality. So this morning we want to look at a couple marks of spiritual maturity. Now, in doing that, I thought I would maybe start with I have three this morning. I have three marks, and there's more than that. But I decided I'd keep it with three marks of spiritual maturity. Three. Three things that a person that's spiritually mature, you will see these things in his life. These are things that are there. One, I'm going to put in here is his gaze or his mind is going to be turned upward. And it's going to be turned inward. And it'll be turned outward. And I'm also just going to put on here that I'm just going to put in here the spiritual mind. So a person that has grown to spiritual maturity, you will see these things. You will see that in the spiritual mind, there's a part of it that's turned upward, and a part of it that's turned inward, and a part of it that's turned outward. And there's a tendency for people to have their gaze on one or the other and actually be very unbalanced, and it's not very spiritually mature. And we'll go through here as we look at this. But I like to suggest that someone that's spiritually mature will have each one of these three. And he'll have more of that. He'll have more than these, but this is where my focus is today. Now, I want to start right here with the gaze being turned upward. And as we go through here, I'm gonna put maybe one thing on here, and I have a whole list here of things that a person whose gaze is turned upward, what is a part of that? When a person's gaze is turned upward toward God, what that looks like. Now, maybe I'll just start by saying that each one of these left by themselves becomes very out of whack, very out of whack. It becomes extreme. I have met people, and when you have the conversation, all you talk about is these high and lofty spiritual things, and you have these conversations, and somehow there's not an ability to come down to real life and be even practical. And I'm going to say that by itself, in this upward look, there's many that are failing and don't have this upward gaze, this upward fellowship, this upward fellowship with God. And as a result, they're focusing on some of the others. And it's not a nice, even balance. But I'd like to just consider that we have to have, if we're going to be spiritually mature, we're going to have each one of these in a right, proper balance flowing together. Now, I have quite a few points here, but help me just put a couple things on the board here. Someone who has a spiritual mind, whose gaze and heart is turned upward toward God. I'm just going to put on here, is he hungers? After God. He hungers after God. Now, I'd like to have input from you. Help me. As we look at this, someone that has a spiritual mind, whose eyes and gaze are turned upward to God, who's drawing close to God and has this fellowship with God, what will you see in his life? I put on here, there's going to be a hunger after God. He hungers after God. Give me some more. He said, worship to God. Heart of worship. It's good. Others, have one over here. Enjoys spiritual conversation. Enjoys spiritual conversation. Wow. How's that? Pray without ceasing. A lover of the truth. Humility. Purposeful. Okay, do you see this? Marks of spiritual maturity or a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind is going to have a gaze that's turned upward to God. There's going to have this fellowship. There's going to be hungering and thirsting after God. There's going to be a heart of worship. Enjoy spiritual conversation. Pray without ceasing. Lover of the truth. Humility. Others. The fear of God. Fear of God. Others. What's going to be there? Sacrifice of praise. I have on here, thirsting, hungering and thirsting after God, like we sometimes thirst, we get thirsty. Now, sometimes in the hot summer heat, we're outside working, and we're working hard, and the sweat drops are rolling off of our face, and we're famished for water. And and tell the boys, boys, I've got to have water. I've got to have water, okay? Okay, that's hungering and thirsting. There's an upward gaze, and these things are in a person's life that is spiritually mature. You show me a person that is spiritually mature, and I'll show you a person that these things are in his life. His gaze, his heart is upward toward God. His gaze is to just draw nigh to him. Let me just give you some of the things that I have on the paper here. He hungers and thirsts after God. He longs after God like men thirst for water. He longs for fellowship with God. You show me a man that's spiritually mature, and he has his upward gaze where it needs to be, and he longs, he enjoys to have fellowship with God. He enjoys to have his just personal fellowship with God. He enjoys that. There is a devotion to God. There's fervent love for God. He continues to seek after God. There's a worshiping of God with his heart and spirit. And in the middle of that, he's one that has learned to be content, and he's not whining and complaining. Whining and complaining comes because we don't trust God. We're not satisfied with what he's given us. Now, Psalms 73 in verse 24 and 25, it says these words. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in earth but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. And in Jude, verse 20, but ye, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So how does it look? How does it look if we have the spiritual mind that's turned upward? Brothers and sisters, there is something. If you see a man that's mature, there's fruit, there's evidence, there's clear evidence that these things are in his life. These things are there. These are evidences. And it's not because he can come up and have a nice sermon. And it's not because he can pray well. And it's not because he has a lot of money. It's not because he has a nice home or a nice car. It's because these things are there in his life. Now, I want to go on to the second one. The second one is the inward look. Now, I like to maybe say that this inward look is, while it is very, very necessary, it again, this has an extreme. There are those who are extreme in the inward look. And all of these, I'm going to say, need to be very at a balanced place, because the inward look doesn't focus on himself, yet rather is open to the needs within himself. If a person only looks inward, he would likely be depressed and discouraged most of the time. The inward look. Now, I think for many of us, we've seen our children and we've seen others who have a lot of the inward look. Our children, we see them just a bit on the selfish side because they're looking inside. And it's all about me, okay? there's an extremeness about the inward look that that's not what we're talking about, okay? But I'd like to suggest that someone that's spiritually mature is self-aware and is open himself up to where he can see the things that are going on within. Where he can see that. Now, how does that look? How does it look? How does it look when a person is open to God? He's doing this. He has this upward look. This upward look leads into seeing ourselves. I don't know if you follow that. If we see God for who he is, and the more we see him, the more we realize that we are not where we need to be. I don't know if you follow. We, as we draw nigh to God, the more we see his holiness, the more we draw nigh to him, we see our own undoneness. That is the inward look, looking within. Now, Isaiah, the account is given for Isaiah when he came and his eyes were opened and he saw the glory of the Lord. And as he saw the glory of the Lord, he became very aware of his own undoneness and his own sinfulness, and he said, "Woe is me." Okay, do you follow? Woe is me. I'm not where I ought to be. He became self-aware. He realized his own needs, and he opened himself up for change. Spiritual maturity. Marks of spiritual maturity, the spiritual mind, is we first, our gaze is first and wholly on him, and then it turns to ourself, and we see ourselves. So how does that look? How does that look like? It shows up in various ways. But I'm going to say, first of all, we see our own sinfulness. And I'll put on here, see our sin. Okay? Give me a couple others. When we see our sin, the inward look, when we look at ourselves, yes, we become teachable. That's good, teachable. Very good. Others. We see our sin. We become teachable. We open up. We look at ourselves. More.
Open to God's direction in
our life. Open to God's direction. Open to direction. Others. Easy to be entreated. Others, in opening up ourselves, looking at our needs, how do we see those things? We're easily to be entreated. We're open. Yes. We love the truth. We love truth. Open to the Spirit. Now let me give you another one that I think flows right hand in hand with this. We are sensitive to others to not have offenses between ourselves and other brothers. Right? If we take our gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has ought, you go and be reconciled. Someone that has this inward, he's spiritually minded and he's open, and he looks at himself, he realizes that I can easily offend someone. And if I can easily offend someone, I'm going to do everything I can to resolve those issues. Those are personal issues. I'm going to put on here, resolves conflict. Others. Now, someone that's going to be open to self, yes. Is in control of his own spirit. Ooh. Is in control of his own spirit. Personal. Self. Control. Good. Now, maybe I'll come back here and just talk about these things a bit. All of these things, when we see our own sin, what a mature spiritual man will do is as he is open and he's self-aware and he allows the Spirit of God, he allows brothers to speak into his life, he will be able to see those, and he brings those things to God, and God washes his sin away. If he sinned, these small sins of the spirit, you know, it's not these big things. You know, maybe it is a big thing occasionally, but it's these small personal things that he opens his life, and God helps him to grow day after day, because all of a sudden I realize I was upset. And they didn't see it, but I realized that within there's something going on that wasn't right. And I repent before God and say, God, forgive me. And then I move on. There's a personal repentance and then an ability to lay those things aside and to move forward. But there's a continual sanctification that goes on day after day. And maybe I should just simply say that immature Christians wait for the big, big problems to roll around. When these big problems roll around, then there's this big issue and I have to sort through it. And a mature, spiritual-minded person will have resolved all the big things, and then they're at a place where they're daily personally sensitive and open to brothers and sisters and those around me and the Holy Spirit, and there's a continual sanctification going on, and there's a growth, there's a maturity that's continuing to happen day after day. Immaturity spells, I just go about life, and when these big problems roll around, and then I need to resolve them, and there's not a personal growth going on. Now, I know, Brother Nathan, you're a school teacher, and if you don't do maintenance all the time with those school children, and you stay on top of things, things can become pretty big eventually. But I know you well enough that you are on top of things, and you're constantly watching for the small things and giving continued help so they continue to grow and develop on small things, and it's not just the big things. Isn't that how it is in our homes and families too? And I'm going to say that a mature Christian, marks of spiritual maturity is when we have come to where we daily, where we all the time, we're sensitive to the things that are going on in our heart. And we realize our attitude. We realize the little gossip. We realize the wrong way of thinking. And as we realize that, we come and say, God, I'm sorry. Help me to change. And I'm choosing to again today change. Lord, help me. And as we do that, there's a continual growth that continues to happen. There's maturity that takes place in this person's life. When we live in the presence of God, we are constantly aware of the unchrist-like areas that need sanctified. And we become more like Christ as the days and the months and years move on by. He continues to humble himself before God and his brothers. And I'm going to make a little statement here. I put this in here. Humble ourselves before God and our brothers and to our younger brothers as well. Some of us have a little bit more age has come our way. And so if there's another man, what I'm just going to say, our equal, our age, who we view as spiritually mature comes our way and has something to say, then we'll listen to him. But if it's someone that we view as, well, he's not very spiritually mature or he's young in the faith, and if it's someone like that, we just sort of brush it off and say he can go scratch his own head, you know. True humility is open. True humility opens his heart and life to others and is willing to listen. Sometimes, if we're proud, we disregard others that want to speak into our life if they're not very mature, if they're quite carnal. I want to just read a couple of verses here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. That posture right there, that posture. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Job's posture was like this. This is Job's posture. I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, I'm going to suggest that Job was not a man that moped around and pitied himself and lived a poor me attitude. He didn't do that. But listen to what he said. He said, Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That was the posture of his heart. Luke 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That was his posture. In Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. Listen to that posture. Do you see that posture? There's a posture there. I fell at his feet as dead. This is what Paul said in the book of Acts. He said, wherein, this is Acts 24, 16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. This is his posture. His posture was, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense. I keep a clear conscience. Matthew 5:23, verse 24, 5:23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, go thy way. First be reconciled to the brother, then come and offer thy gift. Now, I want to just move on here to the spiritual mind that looks outward. The spiritual mind that looks outward. So this upward look. I remember some years back. Being connecting and fellowshipping with various ones, and I specifically remember one brother. And as I was connecting with him and sharing with him, I came away saying, there's something going on in that person. He's walking with God. I felt it. I sensed it. It wasn't because of some eloquent things that he did, but I sensed there's just something there. I sensed it on him. And here and there you see men, you sense there's a walking with God, you sense there's a fellowship going on. That heart opens yourself up to look at the inward. And as we look at the inward and those things are taken care of, it moves on to, I'm going to say, the outward. The outward look. The outward look. Now, the outward look, I'm going to suggest, is that part of us that is has opened ourselves to minister and to share and to give of ourselves with others. I'm going to suggest that there are some who are very focused on the outward. They're very giving. They give of themselves all the time, but they're very shallow spiritually. Each one of these by itself can have a very shallow, it can actually be very shallow, each one of these. A spiritual mind that looks outward. Now, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, it makes this comment. I beseech you therefore, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves, or they have chosen, they have these other things in place, and then as a result of those other things, there is an outflow of their life that gives to others. Now, there's plenty of people in the community here who their lives are filled with lots of stuff. And if I say stuff, there's all kinds of activity and sports and all kinds of recreation and you name it. Their life is filled with all kinds of stuff. There's others whose hearts are turned outward and looking for opportunity to minister, to give in some way to others. Some within the local fellowship. Some within the neighborhood. Some sharing the gospel. and wherever it might be, but there's an outflow coming from their life. There's an outflow. Anytime that you see spiritual maturity, you will see the upward, the inward, and the outward. Every time. I promise you. It's always there. A life that is bent on serving others. A life that's bent on giving of myself in some way. It might be at work. It might be to the neighbors. It might be to the brotherhood and church, and there's needs around, but there's a giving of oneself. And I'm just going to put on here, for the first one, concerned others' welfare. I'm trying to keep it short here. This outflow is concerned this outflow is concerned about the welfare of other people. And then you can have a wide range of people who that affects. But at the bottom of it, concerned about others' spiritual and physical welfare. Concerned about it. Now, help me with that. These people that have this outward view, this outward, there's a focus on that. What are they doing? How does that look? Can you help me? What are they doing? Yes. Others, Lord. Others, Lord. It's good. See them as God sees them. Good. How does this look like? A person whose focus is out there, and there's a giving and a giving and a giving. How does that look? A desire to see others, burden for the lost. More? Yes. Rejoices to see others prosper. Good. Others? Did you get that? Avoiding entanglements, worldly entanglements, so we can serve. Avoiding worldly entanglements. Avoiding worldly entanglements. Good. This outward look. You have more? How does that work itself out? Yes. A redemption in relationships. Redemptive relationships. redemptive relationships. You have more? There's lots more we can put in there. Is truly concerned about the welfare of others. Concerned about lost souls. Jesus went about doing good and delivering men from sin. And us, we carry that same heart, carry that same burden. A life consumed by helping others. A life consumed by helping others. Now, I like to maybe give the Samaritan as an example of a man who selflessly gave his life. When there's a man beside the road, and a priest went by, and a Levite went by, and they all looked the other way. Can anyone tell me why the priest and the Levite left him laying there? They were inward focused. Good? Any more? Do you know why? Yes. They were going to get unclean. That's right. From what I've heard, the priest and the Levite, if they would have touched this man in the shape that he was, they would have been unclean. And so they were inward focused. They were inward focused. They were only concerned that I'm going to get dirty here. And if I get dirty, then I'm in trouble. And rather than getting dirty, they allowed or they decided to just walk on by. They had plenty of other things to do, so they walked on by. They were inward focused. Isn't there plenty of that around where we're so concerned about ourselves looking good and not getting messed up? Very much so. Jesus' example was simply that Jesus gave and he gave and he gave. Now I'd like to just come back to maybe the heart of what we wanted to just look at here. I don't know how to express this more clearly than to just simply say that many times I ask myself and I wonder, what is it? How can we somehow help everyone here, everyone that's sitting here this morning, just have that desire to just move forward in my walk personally with God? You know, we all have our struggles, right? But if there's a deep desire within us to move forward and grow to maturity, then we have something that's God can work in our midst. Once there's a lot of carnality around and self-focus, and once we become involved with all these other things, all of a sudden there's flesh, carnality. You know, there's nothing to work with. The spiritual mind, the spiritual life, this is how it looks. You show me a person that's mature, you will see these three things. Their gaze is turned up toward God, they're open inward, and their life outflows unto others. You will always see these three things, always. And they'll be in their proper balance. And like I said, I've seen people who you almost couldn't have a natural conversation. Almost everything was up in the air and it didn't, the other things, it really was out of proportion. I've seen people that their focus was just on the inward, and it was just out of proportion. And I've seen people who focused on the outward, and it's just been out of proportion. And either one of those left to itself isn't a balanced, mature Christian. But together, there's a solid expression of God. Lord bless you all.